book of Ezekiel chapter 3. I titled the message Obediently Preaching God's Word because that's what Ezekiel is doing. But for us, we probably should make the title Obediently Living God's Word. For each one of us as we go through each day of our lives, living out the Word of God in word and deed for the world to see. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes people are welcoming. Sometimes they're not. God's tried to prepare Ezekiel for this. He's told him what's going to take place, and he's continuing to get him ready and get him to this point. And we're going to pick up in verse 4 of chapter 3 tonight as we continue talking about the life of Ezekiel and his ministry. In verses 4 through 9 read, "Then he said to me, Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. For you are not being sent to a people of unintelligible speech or difficult language, but to the house of Israel. Nor to many peoples of unintelligible speech or difficult language whose words you cannot understand. But I have sent you to them who should listen to you. Yet the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you, since they are not willing to listen to me. Surely the whole house of Israel is stubborn and obstinate. Behold, I have made your face as hard as their faces, and your forehead as hard as their foreheads. Like emery harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, or be dismayed before them, though they are a rebellious house." Can you see Ezekiel's reaction to that? Woo! I get to go! You're like, whoo, this is going to... Take a deep breath and get ready because this is going to be tough. This is going to be hard. And folks, we live in a world that's like that today. It's tough and it's hard. He's speaking God's word here. Speaking God's word, he is called out to be faithful to the message, not to change the message, not to make it fit the community around him, not to make everybody happy about what they're hearing. Isn't that what the world wants? Seems to be what many in the church want today. Something that'll tickle our ears and make us happy, and we can go home with a smile on our face, but no change in our heart. Folks, every time we hear the Word of God, there should be some type of change that takes place in our heart. If there's not, we've gotten a little hard, and we need to step back, and we need to let God do something. Ezekiel's got a word, and he knows this. They're not going to want to hear it. But he's not going to water it down. He's not going to make it easy to hear. He's going to go to these people. He's got a command to go. To the people. Now he's told this. These people are your people. They'll understand what you're saying. It's not going to be hard for them to understand the words coming from your mouth. They will hear it. And they will understand it. Philip can tell you, when we go to Brazil, we talk to an interpreter. An interpreter talks to the people. You're praying that the interpreter is saying to the people what you have said to the people. They say something back to the interpreter, and the interpreter tells you what they have said. That is difficult. It is difficult to know and to communicate in the best ways. But here's the deal. God is there. The Spirit is at work. And people respond. He is told to go. And he's told, you know, the people you're going to tell, they're my people. They are my chosen people. This is the house of Israel. These are the people that I brought out of slavery. These are the people that I have given a covenant to. These are the people that I have walked with and shared with and ministered to. These are the people that I have protected and brought out to be a great nation. And now they're in slavery. These are the people you're going to talk to. These are the people that you will tell. These are the people that you're gonna share with. They're gonna understand you. They're gonna hear the word of God from you. But there's gonna be difficulty ahead. Now here's the sad part. These are God's people. They are in bondage because of judgment. God is bringing to them a message. And God tells Ezekiel, they will understand you, but they won't listen. They will hear your words, but they're not going to respond to them in a positive way. So I'm going to give you a hard head so you can stand up to this. Basically is what he tells him. I'm going to give you the disposition to where you can stand up and continue to give the message that needs to be preached. Now folks, we're called out to live in this world today in a way that shows the love and the message of Jesus Christ. And it begins right here. Right here in this room. Why do I say that? Because you're the ones that are hearing the message. We all speak English. We've been in the same church for a long time. I know you understand what I'm saying. But the question is, do we listen? Do we listen to the word of God? See, Israel said, and God said, you know, Israel's not going to listen to you. They're struggling. They're hurting. They're falling apart. And I want to get to this in just a few minutes. They won't listen to what you have to say. Let's pick up in verse 10. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, take into your heart all my words which I will speak to you, and listen closely. Go to the exiles, to the sons of your people, and speak to them and tell them whether they listen or not. Thus says the Lord God. Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard a great rumbling sound behind me. Blessed be the glory of the Lord in his place. And I heard the sound of the wings of the living beings touching one another, and the sound of the wheels beside them, even a great rumbling sound. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went embittered in the rage of my spirit, and the hand of the Lord was strong on me. Then I came to the exiles who lived beside the river Chebar at Tel Abib, and I sat there 7 days while they were living, causing consternation among them. The message is clear. He knows what to do. He knows where to go. He knows what to say. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? If you hadn't been there, you need to get there. Because God has a plan for you too. Know what to say, know what to do, know where to do it. And so you go about the work that God has given you to do. Do you realize God's given each of you something to do? I don't want to nod your heads because then I might start asking you to do something. Well, folks, I'm asking you to do something. I'm asking you to get to work doing what God would have you to do. Get in the Word of God. Learn what the gift is that you have and begin to use it for His honor and glory. He's got a calling in your life. It may not be to preach. It may not be to teach. It may not be to stand up in front of people. But He's got something for you to do. Ezekiel's calling was tough. It was hard. We talked about it. Here he was, a man that was going into the priesthood where everybody would love him. And God moved him over here to prophet where everybody was going to hate him. He moved him from the priesthood where everybody would listen and enjoy what he had to say over here to a prophet where nobody wanted anything to do with what he had to say. I think the way people might put it today is he went from the penthouse to the outhouse. He went from something great to something hard. But folks, in spiritual thinking, he went from something easy to something worthwhile. Now, this is what I want to ask you real quick. Would you rather be doing something easy or something worthwhile? I'd rather be doing something worthwhile. This is worthwhile for the kingdom. When you're doing something for God, it's worthwhile. We need to grasp that. God is at work here. Folks, we got to understand this. We cannot do God's work without God. That makes sense? Do we understand that? We cannot do God's work without God. The work we do without God is not godly work. Let that sink in. I've said this many times. I hate busy work. I hated it in school. I hate it in life. Doing work to look busy. Doing work just to stay busy for a little while so everybody will think I'm busy. That's not worthwhile. What's worthwhile is getting to work for the kingdom of God. And we need to join God where He's working. You've heard me say that many times. When we're doing work where God wants, we've got His protection, we've got His grace, we've got His strength, and we get His words. And it was time to go. Now, time to go. It's time for Ezekiel to get up and go. Sometimes it gets to be time to go, doesn't it? We've sat long enough. There's a time to pray. Ezekiel's been there. There's a time to hear from God. Ezekiel's been there. Now it's time to go to work. It's time to go to work. Westmore Baptist Church, it's time to go to work. Time to go to work building the kingdom. Not building Wilsonville Baptist Church. Not building up our egos and our popularity and all those kind of things. It's time to go to work to build the kingdom of God. Ezekiel has gone to work. It's time to go. God moved Ezekiel to where the people were. He had made the preparations. Now it was time to take the next step. Is it time to take the next step in your life, in your calling? Is it time to take the next step in what you are supposed to be doing for the kingdom? Is it time to take that step across the street and invite a neighbor to church? Is it time to take that step and talk to that family that we've been avoiding? Is it time to take that step and get with people and pray and study the Word of God? What's the next step that needs to be taken in your life? In your family. Now here's something that I noticed about Ezekiel in this scripture right here. I notice when I'm with people a lot, people like to talk. People like to put in their 2 cents worth. People like to give suggestions. People like to help you out. A lot of people turn out to be like Job's friends. They give a lot of advice that needs to be thrown in the garbage. Ezekiel didn't go in and start talking right away. Did you notice that? Ezekiel goes in, and for 7 days, he listens. He listens. He's listening to what's going on. He's listening to the people. He heard what the people were saying. And what were the people saying? Well, I'll give you a little heads up on what the people were saying. First of all, let's talk about what they weren't saying. They weren't saying we need to repent. They weren't saying something needs to change in our lives, in our culture, in our nation. They weren't saying we've got a problem here and it's us. They were saying it's God's fault. God let us be in this situation. God put us here. Sounds like Eve in the garden, doesn't it? Or Adam. Remember Adam? It was that woman that you gave me. God, it's your fault. They were blaming God. They were blaming the Babylonians. They were blaming the Babylonians for coming in and taking them over and putting them in slavery. It's their fault. It's their fault. Have you ever noticed that it's always somebody else's fault? We can always point fingers when something's wrong. When things aren't going right, we can always find fingers to point all the way around. It's their fault. It's not my fault. If they were doing what they were supposed to, we wouldn't be in this situation. It's always somebody else's fault. God, we're doing all we can do. Why don't you do something? Well, He is doing something. He's working. It's easy to blame everybody else. This is what Ezekiel's grasping a hold of. This is what he's walking into. And as he sits and listens, he hears. There's a lot of whining. There's a lot of complaining. But nobody's doing what needs to be done. Nobody's taking the steps that need to be taken. They're just fussing and griping and complaining. Let's pick up in verse 16. At the end of the 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to warn the wicked from his wicked way that he may live, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you have warned the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered yourself. Again, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I place an obstacle before him, he will die. Since you have not warned him, he shall die in his sin, and his righteous deeds which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. However, if you have warned the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning, and you have delivered yourself. A watchman on the wall. I wonder, who has been called to be a watchman on the wall? Ezekiel has, and it is an important position. It is a very important position. Because what is the watchman's job? It's to keep an eye out for the city, for whatever area he is watching out for. So if the enemy shows up, he sounds the warning, the people respond, and the city is saved. This is what Ezekiel's job is, but in a spiritual sense. His job is to warn the people. To give the warning that they don't want to hear. To look for the response that they don't want to make. But that's what he's supposed to do. And God lets him know here some things, and I'm just going to go ahead and point those out. He lets him know a couple of things here. If you do your job, you're fine. If you don't do your job, their blood is on your hands. Wow. Is it important to do the job that God has put us out here to do? When Pete Parrish was the chairman of the deacons here, he made this statement one night in church. He said these words, "A lost man died in Wilsonville today. That's a mark against this church." Now the question is, did we warn him or did we not? That's the question. Did we share with him or did we not? Because folks, we are called to be watchmen on the wall and to sound the warning. You may not be called to the masses, but you are called to your neighbors. You are called to your family. You are called to the people around you that you work with. You are called to friends. You are called to people that you come in contact with to serve them and to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ezekiel's got an important job here. And he has just heard how important that job is. You're to warn them of danger. Now, what is the wall I'm talking about here? The wall in the Old Testament, spiritually speaking, would have been the covenant. You stick with the covenant, you follow the covenant, you do your part in the covenant, God says you're good. You disobey the covenant, there's going to be discipline. That's what he's telling. That's the message that he has to preach. And he must be faithful to warn. He must be faithful with a message to take it out. He has a responsibility to the people, but more importantly, he has a responsibility to God. Now, folks, I want to ask you this question. Do you realize your responsibility to God? See, I think if we really understood that responsibility, we'd be more about the work. We'd be more involved. We'd be more concerned about these lost people in Wilsonville. These people at the store that we come in contact with week after week after week. There'd be a little more concern and an urgency in our hearts. Because we don't know how many days we have. We know we've got today. We know we've got this time. Not only does he tell him he needs to be faithful with a message, he says the people need to be diligent to listen. But that's not Ezekiel's responsibility. They didn't want to listen. And folks, this is something I've learned in ministry. You can't make somebody listen. You can't make somebody listen. There are people that have sat in these pews for 20 years that I've been preaching and can't tell you one message I preached. There was a young man in Arley. I preached there for 8 years. In 8 years, he got a good nap in while I preached. Every Sunday. You can't make people listen. But you can be faithful with the word. Why do I say they need to be diligent to listen? Because there's a price to pay for not. These are God's people. God's chosen people. And the people must be faithful to respond to what they hear. When someone hears the gospel message, It's not on me whether they accept Jesus or not, but it is on them. I think I shared with you a couple of weeks ago, Gary and I were out visiting, and we were sharing with a young lady, and she did not want to accept Jesus. She did not want to. But her brother was sitting close by, and he was listening, and he said, "I want to. I want to do that." See, one I thought was listening may have heard it, but ignored it. The one I thought was not listening heard it and accepted it. We need to be faithful with a message. And people must be faithful to respond, or they're going to face judgment. They're going to face a penalty of some time, or a chastening of some kind. Let's read these last few verses and we'll be done. "The hand of the Lord was on me there, and he said to me, 'Get up, go out to the plain, and there I will speak to you.' So I got up and went out to the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord was standing there, like the glory which I saw by the river Chebar, and I fell on my face. The Spirit then entered me and made me stand on my feet, and he spoke with me and said to me, 'Go shut yourself up in your house. As for you, son of man, they will put ropes on you and bind you with them so that you cannot go out among them. Moreover, I will make your tongue stick to the roof of your mouth so that you will be mute and cannot be a man who rebukes them, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak to you, I will open your mouth and you will say to them, Thus says the Lord God. He who hears, let him hear, and he who refuses, let him refuse. For they are a rebellious house.'" You know, there comes a time when we need to realize we need to live like God's man. Or for you ladies, God's woman. Live like God's woman, even when nobody else is. When nobody else around is acting like a Christian, you continue to live like one. When no one around you is dressing like a Christian, you dress like one. When no one around wants anything to do with you because you love Jesus, love Jesus. Love Jesus. It's worth it. It's worth it to stand and be who God wants you to be. You think Ezekiel's life was lonely? Do you think it would be easy to get discouraged? You know, there's a time to get away, a time to get strengthened and renewed. Verse 22, he tells him, "Get up, go out of the plain, and there I'm going to speak to you." Sometimes it's good to get away with God. And let him refresh your spirit. Strengthen your heart. Give you a new purpose, a new reason to live, to go out and be who he wants you to be. There's a good time to get away. He gets away and God tells him, you know, "You preach, people aren't going to listen. I'm going to put you in your house. And that's where you're going to minister from. And when you get a word from me, I'll let you talk. And when you don't have a word from me, you're going to be quiet." Boy, wouldn't that change the world? Wouldn't that absolutely change the world if just we as Christians would do that? I don't have a word from God, so today I'm going to keep my mouth shut. What would y'all do if I walked up in the pulpit and said that one Sunday? Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! He got filled with the Spirit. The glory and the Spirit of the Lord came and just filled him up. Do you know what it feels like to be filled with the Spirit? I hope you do. That's a command in the Word of God. Not just to be filled, but to continually be filled. That means we don't run low on the Spirit. How are we not filled with the Spirit as Christians? You know, in the Old Testament, it was totally different. The Spirit would come in, the Spirit would come out. In the New Testament, the Spirit comes in, He doesn't come out. He lives in us. We're not filled with the Spirit when we let sin get involved, when we let pride get involved, when we let our attitudes take over. Ezekiel gets filled with the Spirit, and what a feeling it must have been. Down and discouraged. We see it with the prophets throughout the Old Testament. They preach, people don't listen, people try to kill them. It's discouraging, it's hard. And then he talks about the binding here. And I don't actually know what to say about the binding, because in the book of Ezekiel, we don't see Ezekiel bound and held captive in his home at any time. So what God may be speaking of here is a spiritual binding that is taking place. We know that Ezekiel was able to come and go from his home pretty much as he wanted to. So I don't really know how to talk about that, except to say that for the sins of the people and the lack of repentance and the things that were going on in his life, there was a binding of his ministry. There was a binding of how he was able to go about living his life. And there may have been a time where he was actually bound, because we know he was not treated well. And we know God was preparing him for a lot of things to take place. But he comes to the end here and he tells him, when you say something, when I open your mouth, you make sure you say it this way: thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord. Now this is a sign of God's lordship. And Ezekiel's submission. And a call for the submission of the people to God's covenant, God's will, God's word, to God. And folks, in our lives, and all the things that we've talked about tonight, we need to come to a point where we can submit our lives to the lordship of Jesus Christ. You've heard me talk about lordship a lot lately. Making God Lord of our lives. Allowing Jesus to be Lord of our lives. Lord means He's in control. And I'm not. Lord means I have totally surrendered everything about my life. Every part of my life. I'm not holding on to this thing from my past. I'm not holding on to this attitude. I'm not holding on to this hate. I'm not holding on to this feeling that I've got. I am giving everything to God, letting Him wash me clean, and I'm going to serve Him, filled with His Spirit. He is Lord. He is in total control. I'm giving Him total control of everything about my life. My tongue, my hands, my feet, they're God's. my mind, my thoughts. What is it Paul said? Take every thought captive. What about it? What about it tonight? Is there something you're holding on to? Something that keeps you from being able to be the man or woman of God that He wants you to be? The witness in this community? The difference in this church? You know, everybody in this room tonight knows Wilsonville Baptist Church is struggling right now. We're struggling. I know there's a lot of finger pointing going on. I know there's a lot of talking going on. There's a lot of blaming going on. That sound familiar to the message I just preached? I believe we are a church that needs to turn our hearts to Jesus. I believe we're a church that needs to quit trying to do things our way and do them God's way. I believe we're a church that longs for revival, but we want God to do it our way, in our time. And I believe God's waiting on His church to humble ourselves before Him. Quit blaming everybody else and look at our own heart about what I need to do. We just get down on my knees, confess my sin, and allow Jesus to be Lord. And I believe it can begin tonight. Father, as we come before You, humble our hearts. Father, help us to not be like Israel and not listen, but Father, to hear from Your Word and to respond to it faithfully. I thank You that You don't give up on us. I thank You that You care, that You love us. And tonight I pray that as You speak to our hearts, that we would humble ourselves before You as a church family and allow You to begin a renewal, a revival right here, tonight. God, Your will above all things. In Your name I pray. Amen. As we stand and we sing, You come. The altar is open.
Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. The shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land. A home within the wilderness, a rest upon the way, from the burning of the noontide heat and the burden of the day. Upon the cross of Jesus, mine eyes at times can see the very dying form of one who suffered there for me. And from my smitten heart with tears, these wonders I confess. the wonders of His glorious love and my unworthiness. I take, O cross, thy shadow for my abiding place. And as no other sunshine than the sunshine of His face, content to let the world go by, to know no gain nor loss, my sinful self, my only shame, my glory, all the cross.
And Father, as we come before You tonight, we do thank You for Your love and Your presence and for all that You are doing. We thank You that You are at work in our lives and in this church family and in this community. We ask that You would help us to be faithful in all things. As we move to a time of business tonight, we pray that You would guide this time, that Your will be accomplished, and Father, help us to be godly in our actions and our words. Father, we give this time to You in all things in Your name. Amen.